the last night of Hanukkah. We're learning Chovos Halavos. I don't know, I just picked it up in Best. Chovos Halavos, the last night of Hanukkah. Shar Yichud HaMaisa, Perek Hamishi, which is a very, very long perek. And he talks about, he gets into the kishkas of the Yetzer Hara, and how the Yetzer Hara entices you, or it entices you to do, to not do what you're supposed to do, to go against the will of Hashem. And it's a very long perek, and he starts from the top, discusses a lot of different types of pituyim of the Yetzer Hara. Some of them we might think are not nogeya'as, some of them we don't want to admit are nogeya'as, but he starts from the most severe and he works his way, because one of the points he made in the beginning of the perek is that the Yetzer Hara is constantly our worst enemy and never tires, and no matter how many times he's defeated, he comes back. And again, what the Chovos Halavos is searching for, what he wants from us, and it could be it's a lifetime of work, is Yichud HaMaisa. He wants purity of action. So, many of the things he described in the beginning of the perek, and that he will describe throughout this perek, might sound to us like an unattainable ideal. And a lot of the Chovos Halavos is safer. In Bitachon and other Sha'arim, he talks about things which sound like an unattainable ideal. So, first of all, it's maybe unattainable before you start working. But again, you have Baruch Hashem, we have decades and decades to live. And if we start working now, so who says it's an unattainable ideal? Maybe we'll reach there. Certainly it's important to know what your goal is so that you could work towards the goal. And even if you never reach it, so at least you're striving towards that goal. That's number one. Number two is, stamazoy, you have to know what's right. And that's sort of the same thing as the first thing. So that way you strive towards the way things are supposed to be. But if you don't have a clear picture of the way things are supposed to be, then, so then you're already settling for something less than perfection, and that becomes perfection in your eyes, and then you'll fall below that. So it's important to know what perfection is. Also, it could be that once a day you'll reach the ideal. It doesn't have to be, even if you can't maintain the ideal every moment of your day, but even if once a day something happens that you're able to, snatch a victory of purity of action, just so that's also a tremendous victory, and that's wonderful. So it's important to know what perfection is, because maybe you can reach it even once a week. What's wrong? So now you know what you're striving for, and you know what, and maybe you will attain it, if not always, but sometimes. So that's a tremendous victory as well. Okay, we're starting from page Kuf Ayin. In fact, wait a second. I Xeroxed something. I don't want to put up on the bulletin board. Yeah, I don't know where it is now. Oh, here it is. Yeah, this is a famous thing. It's not a new thing. It's from Avigdor Miller. Put it up on the bulletin board. Yeah. Okay. Very good. Okay. Voracious on page Kuf Ayin Beis. We'll start with the paragraph. Voracious, the first thing, meaning the most intense, the most severe. Voracious, Masha Masapa Kayetzer Olecha, the Zomeim La'amso Bedaitcha, he wants to shake your faith. Who, and this is the worst thing, and it's very interesting, we said, we learned this, I'm chazering it over to get back into it. He considers it more fundamental and more basic, or maybe a more encompassing enticement of the Yetzer Hara, more than that you shouldn't say that there's a Ribono Shel Olam in the world, which we would all pick as the most extreme pitui HaYetzer Hara, that there's no Eivishter in the world, there's no Borei Olam. But he says the worst thing in the world is that when you die, it's all over. There's nothing left after you die. So eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. And there's nothing after that, so you might as well enjoy this world. That's the worst thing. That will ruin your life. That's what he seems to be saying, or something like that. That will ruin your life. That will keep you... That will have you do what you're not supposed to do. It's more encompassing for evil than even not... You cannot believe in the Eibishter and be spiritual. It's terrible. You're wrong. It's Avodah Zarah. Don't get me wrong. Right? You're violating the principle of Yiddishkeit if you don't believe in the Ribono Shel Olam. But he puts first that there's no spirituality. There's nothing. There's no neshama. There's nothing left. There's nothing left. And it could be... Let's face it, Rabosai. You know, you say, oh, but we all live that way, right? If you take a picture of a person's life, we certainly... in general, people live as if this is their whole existence, because look what they do with their lives. We spend our lives like providing for our lives, right? And then to provide for the nefesh usually takes a back seat. I'm talking about any in general, right? It takes a back seat. It comes second. If I have any time left over, so I'll take care of that. And b'chlal, things that make us angry and things that make us feel good and things that make us feel bad, it's usually the temporal things that stir us more than the spiritual things. So it's really a very jarring statement that he puts this first. And think about it and what it means to you that he puts this first. The worst thing, She'ein kiyum l'nafshecha b'lad de'haguf. Your guf is all that there is. T'shehin nifsedes behefsed gufcha. And when the guf goes, you see there are funerals, one of the slan every day, and it's all over. That's it. That's your life, and that's your whole existence. Not just your life. Obviously, that's your life, but that's your whole existence. V'shein l'metzias achrei amoves. B'dimyonos, Chayv Zalmoves said a principle in the beginning of the perek, that nothing the Yetzer Hara does actually stands up to good old-fashioned common sense. And if you think things through with Seichel, if you're able to get hold of a piece of Seichel that's not affected by the Pituyim or Taivis or the way you would like things to be or your emotions or Taivis or whatever, so you just, it's very easy. Right. With all the difficulties, in a way, we compared it to chasing away a fly. It's very easy to chase him away. He'll keep coming back, but really it just takes a little seichel to say, that's absurd, that's ridiculous, that doesn't make any sense. Now, we sitting here now might not be so ready to say that it's illogical and makes no sense that there's more to existence than the guf. So that's why you have to learn Shar HaYichud, and maybe Masil Sesharim and the Hagdama also talks in that vein, why it's not logical to say that all that exists is the guf. It might not be, I don't know, sounds logical to me. But if you learn the Sfarim, that's explained why it's not logical. And also, you know, the Rishonim lived in a different... the Rishonim, Chavis Halvavis, Hamunus Vedeus, Mor Nevuchim, they lived in a different world than we live in. A different type of, like, people thought differently. They had philosophical questions and they philosophical answers, what they considered proof. Nowadays, there's a different mindset ever since the world changed a lot. After certain philosophers made... I don't want to throw out names because I don't really know what I'm talking about. But after certain philosophers, Kant and all these guys, now it's we're more skeptical and we like things that the Rishonim considered proofs. So we look at and like we can't even fathom why it's not a proof because maybe not. Like you can't. It's not really a proof. It's not a rigorous scientific proof. So they have different mindsets. So what the Chavis HaLovis considers approving, and what his in his age, and to the people of his door, or Doros, was taka proof, a very good proof. To us, might not be a proof. So you have to keep that in mind when you learn these Sfarim, you learn more Nevuchim, more Tzvedeus, or Shara Yichud. Things might not, you know, it might not stand up. It might not speak to us. I'm not sure, like, what the words are. It's like we're of a more scientific, rational, analytical, scientific, show me, prove it to me, laboratory type proofs. That's what we demand. Not like more philosophical ideas that you prove something because of the logic and compelling truth of an idea. That doesn't really speak to us. We want it like proved scientifically. That's what we call a proof. If you could, like, show me.
Empirical data.
Yeah. So a lot of, okay. But we'll only cover this all of this, and this is what he says, that it's not logical that the only thing that there is the goof. Right, we would have to show the neshama. Right, nowadays you would have to show in a laboratory, you have to show the neshama. You couldn't just philosophically talk about why there must be one. You have to say, well, show it to me. So you have to bring back these guys that died and then came back, and the light at the tunnel, you know, all of that.
Your death experience.
What?
Your death experience.
Yeah, right. And there have been books written to that. But then the skeptics, you know, say that was just the doctors shining the flashlight, you know, the guys.
Yeah, but it makes sense that this one is first. It really does. Because if you take the consequences of your actions away, then there's no price to
that. Yeah, that's what we really, that's what, it's like a chiddush of the Chavis HaLovis, but if you think about it, it's a darn good point. Once you just take away any semblance of spirituality at all, and you say all there is your goof and the 70, 80, 90 years that you're alive, and then it's like everything goes dark and there's nothing else, and then like, you really, it's like, so what? Like, you know, so then it might be a question of pragmatism and social welfare and, you know, society, you know, being able to function, but that's all it is. It's just a pragmatic thing. And if you decide that, you know, you want to enjoy yourself and you don't care about the pragmatic angle and you don't care about society, you don't care about, you know, your family or your wife, you don't care about any of these things, and all there is this. It's really answering to, like, what's going to be when there's nothing left but my neshama. Like, that's most, that, if you think the Chavis HaLovis, what he's really, he seems to be convinced that at least psychologically or emotionally, that's more scary than facing Hashem. Just the fact that your neshama's left, and then what? So what happened, if your neshama is impure, is dirty, is sullied, and like, he considers that more powerful. It's just interesting that he put that first. Okay, we'll stop here. And, okay, I want to learn an Inyan of Hanukkah now.